Talmud Torah applies to all of the parshiyos, including Bereishis as well. We're supposed to not just read Kriyas HaTorah, we're supposed to delve into the parsha to learn things from here. The Gemara Chagiga, in the beginning of the second parak, the Mishnah starts off, Ein Dorshin Emaisa Bereishis Bishnayim, that you have to be careful about learning parts of Parshas Bereishis. There is a restriction. So the Gemara says, how do we know there is such a restriction, what you're allowed to learn, what you're not allowed to learn? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Vayeskana. The pasuk is introducing the story of Maimon Har Sinai. Kishi al-Nor Yomim Sharim Shehayu Lefanecha. If you start delving into ancient history, the Minayam Shabor Hashem Odom Al-Horz, the Mikzeh HaShemayim, Vat Kitzeh HaShemayim. If you delve into all of history since the time that God created Odom HaRishon, was there ever such a thing like Maimon Har Sinai? This is the first time, the one and only time in the history of the world. Hashem Am Kol Elokim Medaber Mitech Eish Anisa Elokim Lova Lekachas Vazvay Mikir Atoha Reisa Vadas Ke Hashem Tu Elokim Men HaShemayim Nishmiach Es Kol Oli Asrek and so on. So the Gemara understands from this pasuk, Kishi Anoli Amimu Shanim Shehayu Lepanecha, if you want to study the past, to delve into the past, there is a restriction. You're not allowed to delve into what happened in the first 6 days of Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz. The learning in depth, Be'iyun, is supposed to begin from Briyas Adam Rishon. And that's how the Medrash comments on this parsha. Each day something was created, and then on the 6th day it says, so the Medrash comments on this pasuk that this is the turning point. Up until this point, we have to observe the pasuk that says, "Vod Elokim Hestadova," that is the glory and the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should keep everything secret. And the Kan Yelach, starting by the Chulash Maim Vaharetz V'Chol Tzvam, after Adam Rishon was created, that's from now on, from this point on, we have to delve into everything and study all of the world, all of nature, and study all of the halachas, whatever it says in the Torah. From here on, we have to fulfill the other pasuk, Kvod Malachim Chakor Dovah. That it's the glory of the kings if you delve into what they have to say. So here it's the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should delve into what happened after Adam HaRishon was created. Why does it switch at that point? Why is up until the point of Briyas Adam HaRishon is Kvod Elokim Hester Dovah? From the point of Briyas Adam on is Kvod Malachim Chakor Dovah. So the Pashtus is because they Melech B'Loyom, that the term Melech only applies after Adam HaRishon was created. Before Adam, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't really Melech HaOlam. He was Elokim. Bereishis Bara Elokim. After Adam HaRishon is created, then you have a concept of Melech, Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you speak about Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. From that point on, there's an inyan to delve into everything. So to study about the Big Bang, to try to figure out how the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and how things happened, according to this Mishnah, according to the Mishnah beginning of the second parak in Chagiga, is not permissible. We're supposed to spend our time studying all of science and Torah, whatever, as it's presented after Adam HaRishon was created already. The Gemara in different places, in the end of Sanhedrin and in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara quotes it, a debate among the Tanoim. 60 years after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, and that's how they were told in advance, that after 70 years the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. So there were Tanoim who thought that the same would repeat itself after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It would be, everything would be returned again after 70 years. So about approximately 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba's revolt was going to get somewhere, and he supported Bar Kochba, and he thought Bar Kochba may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach, and that's why they called him Bar Kochba, Dorach Kochba Miyankit, the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, where Bilam HaRosha gives the Nevuah about Bias HaMashiach, describes Mashiach as Dorach Kochba Miyankit. Apparently his real name was Bar Kuziva, Shimon Bar Kuziva, and Bar Kochba was the nickname. Based on that pasuk, Dorach Kochba Miach. So the other Tanoim disagreed with Rebbe Akiva. The Rambam writes as if Rebbe Akiva, the whole Chachmei Doro, all the Rabbanim of that generation, all assumed that Bar Kochba was the Melech HaMashiach. That's how the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Malachim. When he quotes all the passages from Tanakh and from the Gemara, he gives you a leaflet about the Bias HaMashiach, the last section, the last few chapters in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So he describes it as if Rabbi Akiva and all the Chachamim all thought that Bar Kochba was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. And the Gemara, especially the Yerushalmi, it doesn't appear so at all. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva was the minority opinion. And all the others, B'shas Maisa, disagreed with him. And they told them, you're way off. Yalu Asavim Bilchayecho, Adain Ben David Lobo. Rabbi Akiva, they said, with all due respect, you're going to be buried, you're going to die, you're going to be buried, you're going to be pushing daisies. Grass is going to be growing on top of your body. Yalu Asavim Bilchayecho. A long time to go, Adain Ben David Lobo. How do they know that Mashiach is not going to come? Can anybody say for sure that today, Yalu Asav Mochayach, Mashiach is not going to come, not today, not tomorrow, not the next day? How do you know? We assume, like the Rambam writes, Hakala B'chol Yom Shiova, it's possible, a 50-50 chance. Mashiach may come any day of the year. How do we know? How do they know at that time? How do the other Tanoim know? So the Gemara explains that they had a tradition, which Rebbe Akiva disagreed with. They said that they had a serious tradition that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. From the time of Bria Sodom Arishon on. And the 6,000 years has a breakdown of three different parts. The first 2,000 years is Tohu, nothing going on. The next 2,000 years is going to be Torah. And the next 2,000 years is going to be Yemos HaMashiach. So what do you mean? What happened in the year 2000? What major event occurred in the year 2000 that's the beginning of Torah? So the Gemara makes a cheshbon that Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948, the Bria Sodom. If you make the calculation, it's plain arithmetic. You just keep on adding on. How old was Adam Arishan when Shais was born? Adam, Shais, Enosh, and so on. Go down till Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948 with Bria Sodom. So that's 1948. So what happened when he was 52 years old? What happened in the year 2000? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, HaNefesh Asher Asa B'choran, that Avraham Avinu was Megayris on Russian, Sarah Megayris as Hanoshim, that he was preaching monotheism. First he had to be convinced himself that monotheism is correct. And then when he got up enough courage to preach this to the public, so then the Pesukim say, HaNefesh HaShor HaSpachon, so the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition. In the Tanakh it doesn't say. We have an oral tradition that Avraham Avinu was 52 years old when he started preaching monotheism to the public. And that's the pshat, that's the beginning of the Shnei Halachim Torah. Up until, in other words, when Avraham Avinu was convinced himself of monotheism, that's not yet Torah. If you keep it to yourself, it's not Torah. If you preach it to others, that's the beginning of Torah. And then the Shnei Halachim Torah lasted till the year 4000. The year 4000, Lebrias Oilam, Lebrias Adam Arishon, began a new tkufa of Yemos HaMashiach. What do you mean Yemos HaMashiach? That it's possible for Mashiach to come. Now, when was the year 4000? What happened in the year 4000? The Bias Olam. So the way we calculate, we may be a little off, but the way we calculate, we assume that 1940, that's the year 2002. No, the Christian counting. So the way we usually assume, the year 1940 was the year 5700. That was the year 5763, because it's 63 years after 1940. So the way we calculate, so the year 2000, the year 4000, was where the beginning of the Tkufas Yemos HaMashiach corresponded to the year 240. If you go back from 1940, everything is going to be 1840, 1740, 1640. All the hundreds, all the centuries are going to begin with the corresponding to the Goyish date. It's going to be a 40. So if you just go back, you roll it back. So in the year 240, that's the beginning of the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, that there's a possibility Mashiach may come. But Rabbi Akiva with Bar Kochba were way before the year 240. They were approximately 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Sheni was around the year 70. So 70 years later was the year 140. It was 100 years before 100 years before the Tkufa Mimos HaMashiach. So that's why the other Tanaim disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. They said, you're dead wrong. Yalu Asavim Bilcha Yechav Adayin Ben David Lobo. That they had this tradition that Mashiach is not going to come before the Shnei Alofim Mimos HaMashiach. After the Shnei Alofim, after the beginning of the Shnei Alofim Mimos HaMashiach, after the year 240, the Mashiach can come any day. Achakala B'chol Yom Shiyah. Nobody can predict today to someone else, Yalu Asavim Bilcha Yechav Adayin Ben David Lobo. How does anybody know? Maybe Mashiach is going to come today. Hayom HaMekol HaSushmo. The Gemara says that one of the Chachamim met Mashiach and he asked them, when is he coming? So he says, Hayom. He says, Hayom? Well, he got all excited. He says, Hayom and Mekal Das Shmo. If you listen to the Baruch Shalom's mitzvahs, he'll come today. It means, Chaklo B'chol Yom Shiyomet, there's a possibility Mashiach can come every day. So why were they so convinced? Rabbi Kiva thought that this Bakarifa was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach, and the others were convinced it can't be because they thought you have to have these God's plan in the history of the world. That's what we assume. We assume that, first of all, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Yesh Meayin. It didn't happen by itself. Secondly, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he created it Bereshis. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Bishvil Yisrael and Bishvil HaTorah. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasoi. And Bishvil HaTorah Shenikru Reishis. Where's the Torah Nikru Reishis? Hashem Kanoni Reishis Darkoi. Rashi quotes all the psukim from the Medrash that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he created it with a purpose and he had a plan, and he guides all of the history. The Gemara says in a few places there, Sefer told us Sodom, Yom Baros Hashem Elokim Adam Al Haaretz. So the Gemara comments on the pasuk there, Sefer told us Sodom, that this refers to the Sifre Shel Adam Arishon. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed the body of Adam Arishon, Ofer Min Adama, he told them already at that time. He revealed to him a book that contained the history of the world. What do you mean the history of the world? It just began. How can I have a whole history of the world? No, the Medrash says the Ribbono Shel Olam had the whole history all charted out. People have Bechira Chavshis, but there's restricted, there's limited Bechira Chavshis, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is guiding everything in a certain direction. He wants everything to go in a certain direction. So the Gemara says that this Sifra Shel Adam Arishon has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Adam Arishon, has contained within it the whole direction that all of the history of mankind will have, and the history of the Jewish people, and the history of the development of the halacha, the development of the Torah as well. A lot of times you have a machloikis, all the time. You have, in every generation you have a machloikis among the rabbanim, so you wonder, a lot of times you think the accepted opinion maybe is not correct. Maybe this is the wrong opinion. Maybe the whole Torah is being distorted. So the Chazal say, no, the Torah is not being distorted. The Ribbono Shel Olam is watching out for his Torah. He's going to see to it that the opinion that he wants, the opinion that he feels is the more correct opinion that should be accepted, will be the opinion that will be maintained over the generations. So the Gemara quotes snatches from this Sifra Shel Adam Arishon. The Gemara has a lashon that the Gemara says contained in the Sifra Shel Adam Arishon is the story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is going to be razzle-dazzle, and he's going to know the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, and he's going to be transmitting the Torah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam showed this to Adam Arishon, Zesef Shel Adam, Zesefer told the Sanhedrin, he showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu also. And Moshe Rabbeinu was surprised. He said, what are you giving the Torah through me? Give the Torah through this person, Rabbi Akiva. He says, he's much greater than me. See, the Ribbono Shel Olam shows him that Rabbi Akiva is going to give this big shiur, he's going to transmit the Torah. And included in the Sefer Shel Adam Arishon is the horrid death, the tortures that Rabbi Akiva is going to suffer. This was all planned in advance. So Moshe Rabbeinu says it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shalom says, don't ask any questions. This is my plan in the world. This is all part of the plan. And then the Gemara says also included in the Sifra Shel Adam Arishon is that Reb Nosson, the Sofa Mishnah. That's going to be the end of the Tkufas HaTanoim. It's going to be Tanoim, it's going to be Amarok. Rebbe, Reb Nosson, Sofa Mishnah. Ravida Ravashi Soifai Roa, that's going to be the end of the Tkufa Samaroi. And then in every generation there are sections that are quoted, very very little is quoted in the Gemara. Most of the Tanaim and Amaraim had no access to this Sifri Shel Adam Arishon. But some of them did. So the Gemara says one line and it says there's going to be two contemporary, two scholars, one is going to be Rab, one is going to be Shmuel. And Rab is going to get Smich and Shmuel is not going to get Smich. Chacham Yiskri, Rebbe Lo Yiskri. That's the Gemara in the end of Bav Metzi on Daf Pei Vav, Daf Pei Hei. that they felt bad when Rabbi Shmuel both left the yeshiva to go back to go to Babylon to be Marbit Torah there. That each one made a different yeshiva in a different city. There were Amaratzim in Babylon. So when they came, they made a tremendous Harbotos HaTorah, each in a different city. So Rav got smicha before he left, and Shmuel was also interested in getting smicha. So every day there was some other equal, and then he left. He couldn't wait any longer. He left, and he never got smicha. You can only get smicha if you're in Eretz Yisrael. No, you can't confer smicha in Chutzlah. So they felt bad about it. Why, just due to circumstances, he didn't happen to get the smicha? So somebody told the Rabbanim they shouldn't feel bad, that they saw this line from the Sefer Shalat HaMarishon that Shmuel was going to come in a generation. Shmuel was going to be Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. That's the Rabban Shalom's plan. And then the development of the whole history of the world and the history of the Halacha and so on. So we believe that that there certainly is such a plan. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the first pair, quotes a Braisa that was composed before the year 240. All the Mishnayos, Rabbi Yudan Nasi died before the year 240. He died around approximately the year 220. That's how they write in the history books. So the Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, Rav Dafyu, quotes a Braisa that was composed a few years before the year 240, where the Tanoim recommend you better not buy real estate in Chutz Lars after the year 240, because Mashiach may come any time. He hasn't come yet. Since the year 240, it's already almost 2,000 years late. He hasn't come, but the Gemara says he may lose your pits. You're going to buy real estate in Chutz Lars. Then Mashiach can come today. And then the Goyim will know that you're going to Eretz Yisrael, everybody's going to leave, and you sell it for a dollar. So less than a dollar. Who's going to want to pay any money? They know that that you're in a rush to leave, to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanaim recommend that during this period of the Shnei Alafim and Mosa Mashiach, it's not wise to buy real estate. Okay, that was their suggestion. They thought that you may lose money. You may lose money. What exactly does it mean, Shnei Alafim Torah? The Maharshoy asked Sunday Gemara, what do you mean? Shnei Alafim Tohu was up until the time that Avraham Avinu was on Nefesh HaShoras B'choron, until the time that he was declaring monotheism to the public, until he was teaching Torah to the rabbis. And why does the Gemara have this tradition, Shnei Alafim Tohu, that's it? And then in the year 240, that was the end of the Torah. So the Marshal says, but I'm still here. All the Amorim were after the year. Rabbi Yudan Nasi died in the year 220. So all the Amorim, Ruba the Ruba of the Amorim, were after the year 240. So how can you say that there's no more Torah? Yeshiva University, Torah Center of the World, how can it be that there's no Torah after the year 240? So the Marshal says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means that before the year 2000, there was Tohu. After Avraham Avinu started preaching at the age of 52, he started preaching HaNefesh HaShoras B'choron. He's preaching monotheism to the population. So that's the beginning of Torah. And then the Torah continues on. The Torah is going to last on for the last for all the 4,000 years. Yimos HaMashiach is only the last 2,000 years. The possibility that Mashiach will come, that's what the Tanaim who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva thought. The possibility of coming on Mashiach, that only begins after the year 240. That can't be before that day. That's how the Marsha says. The Chazanish doesn't agree. He quotes the Marsha, he doesn't agree. He thinks that just like the Shnei Alafim Tohu means that's all, only those 2,000 years had Tohu. Shnei Alafim Mimos HaMashiach means only those 2,000 years have the possibility of Mimos HaMashiach, according to the opinion of those Tanoim. So the Shnei Alafim Torah means only those 2,000 years have the Torah. But I'm still here. The Chazanish is still here, he's way after the year 4000. So he thinks that it means something else. He thinks that it means to develop new concepts in Halacha. That the Rabban Shalom gave us 2000 years that we should develop concepts in Halacha. Once all the concepts were developed, so today we just keep on applying these concepts. But if we'll have a Bez Nagoral in Yerushalayim today, and they'll want to be mechadish a new yisoid, that based on a new drasha, on a new pasuk, come up with a new idea. So the Chazanish thinks that you can't do that. The dinim had to be nikva during those 2,000 years. So whatever was nikva then, that's the halacha. It doesn't mean the halacha is frozen. The halacha keeps on developing from generation to generation. Many dinim were developed in the days of the Amoraim, in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of the Achronim. But everything was a development of what was before, as opposed to the 2,000 years of Torah, where Tanoim had the right, where the Chacham had the right, had the ability to darshim sukkim, to come up with mamish, something new, a new concept. There's even There's even a machlokes in Achrayim. The Chido, in his comment, the Chido wrote that 80 svarim or something that were printed. 80 svarim that were printed, I think. Maybe he wrote more. So on one of his, he has a sefer on Megillas Rus that's called Simchas HaRegel. So he discusses Amoni v'loy Amonis, Mayavi v'loy Mayaviya. The Rus HaMayaviya was permitted to marry Boaz because they darshan Amoni v'loy Amonis, Mayavi v'loy Mayavi. So there is a debate in Rishonim regarding this drasha of Amoni v'loy Amonis. Was this a drasha's Chachamim that they were Mechadesh? Or was this an ancient halacha of Moshe Messina? They had a tradition that that's the din. And the drasha Amoni v'loy Amonis is only an asmach. So those who hold this halacha of Moshe Messina, so it's all the way back from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not, they weren't Mechadeshim. But according to the other Rishonim, we think that it's not halacha of Moshe Messina. The Gemara never says it's halacha of Moshe Messina. Some Rishonim write like that. According to the simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds like the Chachamim and the later generations darshan this halacha. They darshan based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas when they figured out why it should be Amoni v'loy Amonis. So the Chidah has a machlokes achrayim regarding this. If one should assume that it's a Drashas Chachamim, that there are Mechadish in that generation, maybe the din deraisa only applies mikana lahaba. Maybe it's not chalam afreya. Let's say this makes a takana de rabbanan. They ask a gvina sakum or something like that. They ask a rabbi shalak. So the gzer de rabbanan only applies mikana lahaba. You can't say, oh, the pots that the guy cooked in this morning, the guy cooked breakfast this morning, and it was bishalakum, but the bezin only made the gzera. Bishalakum at 11 o'clock. So you're going to say the pots are treif, you have to kasha them? No. How can you say the pots are treif? This morning there was no isra bishalakum. The isra is only chal mikana labo. It's not chal amafre. So that's on a gzera. That's on a din derabonim. Dinim derabonim, chal mikana labo. What about dinim deraisa? Dinim deraisa from matan Torah on. But what if there's a din deraisa? It wasn't given at the time of matan Torah. A bezin in a later generation darshaned it from a pasuk. So do you say that that din deraisa only begins to be observed mikana lahabo? Or should you assume, no, that once the bezin in the later generation darshans his din, it's now igloyim milsulam afreya, that that's what the din should have always been from the very beginning, from the day of Matan Torah. So the Chido, in his commentary on Megillas Rus, quotes this machlekes achrayim. The Chazanish is quoted as having said the surprising way, that he thought that it's only mikana lahabo. Because they asked the Chazanish regarding the Medrash, the Rashi quotes on Kohelet, "En kochodesh tachas Hashemesh, nothing new under the sun." That's how people usually translate. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything is the same as it was in the days of Adam Rishon. All the same vices and the same virtues. The people sadan the arachadu. Everything always, the whole world is always the same as it always was. We shouldn't be surprised that there's a. How can a person do such a thing, such a crook, such an aveira? He robbed a bank. They were always bank robbers. They were always prostitutes. They were always balei aveira. They were always tzaddikim. They were always rishoyim. That's late always was. So that's how we usually assume in kochodesh tachas Hashemesh. So Rashi quotes in a different interpretation of the Medrash that the Shemesh means the sun because it gives illumination. The Shemesh means the Torah because it illuminates everything in the world, that it's a very dark world. Gemara comments in the end of Bava Metzia, Toshes Choshech Vihi Loila, Zeho El Mazeh Shedoyim Elo Loila. It's very dark over here in this world. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. And the Rebbeinu Shalom gives an illumination. He gives us the Torah, and the Torah illuminates everything. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. So the Shemesh is a mashal for the Torah. So the pasuk says, Ein Kochodesh Tachas Hashemesh. There's no chidushim outside of the area of learning. In learning, there's such a thing as chidushi Torah. But outside of learning, outside of the Torah, there's no chidushim. So they asked the Chazanish, what do you mean there's no chidushim? I mean there were always airplanes and fax machines and Xerox machines and everything. These things were invented in our lifetime. The airplanes were not invented in my lifetime, but fax machines, I think, were invented in my lifetime. What do you mean? They didn't have these things years ago. The Torah is the same old Torah. We're learning the same Ksuvas with the same Taisas with the same Shittim Ukubetzes as our grandparents learned, as our great-grandparents for the last 2,000 years, the same Maseches Ksuvas with the same everything the same. What do you mean that there's only Chidushim in Torah, there's no Chidushim in science? Adarabba, there are only Chidushim in science. In Torah, you're just applying the same old thing. So the Chazanish explained, no, that all the new inventions and all the new discoveries, everything that they have, these are all from Sheshes Mei Breishes. Of course there was no airplane at the time of Bria Soilem, but we're just using the principles of physics that are both implanted within the world in the Sheshes Mei Breishes. We're discovering more principles of physics, chemistry, medicine, mathematics, biology, astronomy, and so on, and based on our new, based on all of our discoveries, we're making inventions where we were applying. We're simply applying all of these old rules, and everything was there from Sheshes Mibreshes. As opposed to Torah, there's an ongoing Koyach HaChidish that the Chachamim and all the generations have the ability to come up with a new Chidish that never was before. And that Chidish Tak is only Mika'al Abo. That Chidish Din is only Mika'al Abo. So then the Chazon Ish suggested that in the Kuntres Emunah B'Tochen, I think he writes like that, that he thinks that maybe that's the Pshat in this Gemara, not like the Marsha, that Shnei Alafim Mimos HaMashiach continues to be also part of Torah. It's not Shnei Alafim Torah only, and after the year 240 the Torah ends. No, the Torah doesn't end, the Torah continues on. Everybody's still learning Torah, but the Shnei Alafim Torah means during that period of 2,000 years, that's when you can be Kaveya Halachas. And after the year 240, after the 2,000 years of Torah is off, you can't be Kaveya New Din. You can't come up with any new din. In the course of those 2,000 years, you could be Mechadish a new din that would only be Noyed, Mikan Alava. And after that, we just apply all the old dinim, like in chemistry and physics and biology and so on. We're still learning Torah. Be mechadish a little bit, but the chiddush just is a new insight and a new understanding of the ancient rules. But not mechadish something new yesh meyan. The Rekeach writes in his commentary on Chumash, he thinks that maybe in the opening pasuk of Bereishis, there are six olives. So perhaps the six olives is what led the Tanoim to believe, or perhaps it's a remiss to the idea of those Tanoim who claim that the world is only going to last for 6,000 years. Eleph. Aleph is a Eleph is 1,000. So he thinks that maybe the fact that the opening pasuk has Bereishis Bara Elokim has six olives is indicative of the fact that this world that was created Bereishis Bara Elokim has Hashemayim Haaretz is going to last for the 6,000 years. Anyway, this is our with the 6,000 years. That was a debate among the Tanoim whether that is accurate or not. But this everybody agrees to, that the Ribbono Shel Olam does have a plan in the history of the world, and he guides. And he guides along all of history, and he guides especially the history of the Jewish people and the history of the development of the Halacha, the development of the Torah also, to the extent that the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Rav Nosson, Sofa Mishnah, Rabbi Rabashi, Sofa Rod, these are all relevant for the development of the Torah Shebal Peh. Ramban HaChumash has an interesting comment. He claims that when it says Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves HaAretz, it doesn't mean that God created the sky and the ground. Like it says later, Vayikra Elokim LaRaki HaShamayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam called the sky Shamayim. So that's what it means, Bereishis Bara Elokim, he created the sky and the ground and the earth. So he says he doesn't think that that's the Pshat. The word Shamayim in Pasuk Aleph, and the word Shamayim in Pasuk Ches, where you can Lorakei HaShamayim, he thinks that it's a different usage of the word. We sometimes call the sky Shamayim, but that's not the Shamayim that's referred to in Pasuk Aleph. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olamos HaElyonim of Ruchnias, and that's referred to as Shamayim. And everything in this world, including the sky, is called Oretz. This is all the Olam HaGashmi. And everything, and that's all. It says, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam created Ruchnias, the worlds. And that's not picked up on anymore. That's Sisri Torah. That's not picked up on. And everything that's going to continue in the description of the Bria Shamayim Ba'aretz in the Chumash, that's only Bria Sa'aretz. That's not Bria Sa'ashamayim. There is such a pasuk in Tehillim, HaShamayim Shamayim Lashem Ba'aretz Nasan Bifnei Adam. So the Gemara in the first parak in Sukkah seems to take that pasuk literally. Gemara says that Moshe Ola LaMoram, or Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. So the Gemara understands that he, not that he was standing, his feet were on top of Har Sinai. The Gemara says, no, Ola LaMoram. He went up above Har Sinai. His feet were not on top of Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, but how can it be? It says, HaShamayim, Shamayim LaShem, V'horetz Nosam of Ne'odom. He's supposed to be on the Oretz. So the Gemara says, you're right. His feet were suspended above the top of Har Sinai, but they were lamata me'asara tfachim. They were toich asara tfachim to the top of Har Sinai. Then the Gemara quotes Psukim that the Shekhinah came down from heaven. There was Hizgalus HaShekhinah on the occasion of Mamre HaSinai, that the Shekhinah came down. So the Gemara says, how can it be? But it says, HaShamayim, Shamayim, Lashem. How can it be the Shekhinah came down? Or it's not something of Ne'odim. So the Gemara says, the Shekhinah came down, but it was Lemaila Me'asar Tzol. The Moshe Rabbeinu went up, but it was Lemata Me'asar Tzol. That the first, the gist of the whole sugi is, the first Mishnah says that the Tfanis of the sukkah have to be 10 Tzolchim Tzol. And Mechitzis for Rishu Sayochet, the Shabbos purposes have to be 10 Tzolchim Tzol. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's so? So the Gemara says, because in order to be considered a Mechitzah, it has to be Makif the Mokom. And the Mokom means latitude and longitude on the globe, and the first 10 Tzolchim above the surface of the earth amid starif to the ground below. The Moshe Ledin is that Ave Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim only up until the first 10 Tzvachim. Ave Karmelis is Karmelis only the first 10 Tzvachim. Above the Maila Me'asar Tzvachim, above the floor of a Rishus HaRabim, or above the floor of a Karmelis, has the status of a Makom Ptur. Only the first 10 Tzvachim amid starif to the ground below. Ave Rishus HaYochid, the Gemara says, Zoy La'ad L'Rakia, that's a different reason why. Why is it Rishus HaYochid Ola L'Rakia? Because the Mechitzas are Ola L'Rakia. Because we have a din of good, asik mechitzah. Good means we stretch out. Good ayavu. Good means mishoch. We visualize as if you have walls around fences around the parking lot. The fences don't go up all the way to the sky. We visualize it as if we stretch up the fences as if the mechitzas are roel al rakia. So if the mechitzas are roel al rakia, so the whole makom is mukaf. So that's why the din is that rishu sayochid is roel al rakia. If you can imagine a rishu sayochid where the mechitzas are not roel al rakia, then a taka will not be taifis l'mayla me'asar atroch. According to the Ramban, some Rishonim hold, there is such a case. You don't always say good asik mechitz. Mar said, yeah, mechitz is sheini korit, then you don't say good asik, so it won't be oil al l'rakir. But in principle, the Gemara says that only the first 10 tefachim above the ground level amit starf to the ground. And then, so in discussing this, the Gemara says, "I Moshe Olal Amorim." So the Gemara says, "No, his feet were suspended above Har Sinai, suspended in the air in Morom, but the bottom of his shoes were toich asar tefachim to the ground." And the Shechina yarda lamata, yeah, lamata, not all the way up there somewhere, but it was lamayla me'asar tefachim. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara seems to take this pasuk in the sense Hashamayim, Hashamayim, Hashem Baruch Hu, something from the Adam. Shamayim means the sky, and there is not something from the Adam means the earth. And Oritz includes the surface of the earth and the first 10 Tzvachim. But above the first 10 Tzvachim, it cannot be. That's why when they first sent the first man to the moon, so many people were very shaken up, because they remembered this Gemara. And they said, how is it possible? They denied that when they saw it on the television, they saw the man walking on the moon. They said, how is that possible? It's against the Pasuk. It's against the Gemara. So I remember at that time, one of the Rabbanim from the Eidah Haredis in Yerushalayim was visiting Rav Soloveitchik. He told him that he's very shaken up about this. So he said he doesn't see what to get so excited about. He didn't explain the Gemara and Sukkah. He just said, just like the Ramban says over here, that Bereishis Baruch Hu came as Shamayim as Oretz doesn't mean the sky and the earth. Shamayim means the Olam Aruchni, and Oretz means the Olam Agashmi, and Oretz includes the sky. Everything that's described, the Ramban says, everything that continues to be described in Parashat Bereishis is all a description of Oretz. None of it a description of Shammai. In the Sifri Kabbalah, they talk about what's Shammai. But in the Chumash, it doesn't talk. So he thought that the same as the Pashup Shad and the other Pasuk, HaShamayim, Shammayim, LaShem, Horetz, HaSan, of the other, doesn't mean the skies are reserved for the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It means it's impossible for a human being to go to the sky. It is possible. The airplanes, they should have asked the Kasha, the airplanes were also Lamaila Me'asar Tzvach. One day asked the Kasha, then what, they have to wait till a man was walking on the moon? The Kasha was there a long time ago. So he said, it doesn't bother him. The whole Kasha doesn't bother him. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik thought that man's desire to conquer the world, as he published in several essays, and to travel to the moon, that this is all part of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't think that it's against the Ratzon of Hashem. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam HaRishon, Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give man shilton over the whole world, shlita over the whole world. He wanted man to conquer all of the sicknesses and to figure out the secrets of chemistry and physics and biology and everything, and to travel to outer space and so on, and to go airplanes and fast airplanes to be in Europe, and then 2 hours later to be in America with the quick jets and so on. He thought that all of this was part of the Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam just wants, he wanted to. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave Adam and Rishon and all of human beings this desire, the Chitshua, to conquer all of the world and to control everything, but with a restriction, with a little bit of a limit. He wants them to go within the mitzvah satayra. If it's Jewish people, within all the Tayyad mitzvah satayra. If it's Nochem, within the Sheva mitzvahs b'ninayah. The Pasuk says at the end of the Sedra, Hanefilim, are you bored by Yom HaMahim? They did. How does the pasuk say? They did whatever they don't please. They did whatever they wanted. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, "Tovus is spelled without a vav, without two vavs, missing both vavs." So it's a remez. The Gemara says in the beginning of Ksubis, called Psula Hanisis Kibbel Lehegmon Chilo. So Rashi says from the Medrash, Rashi quoted the Medrash, that that's what started to happen already in the days of the Chumash. That's what it's got. Kitovos Heino, Amar Rabbi Yudin, Tavas Ksiv Shoy Metivin Oysen Mekushetes Likonis Lechupo Hegodol Nitnus Aboyal Atchilo. The Boyal Lehegmon Chilo is the Pasuk in Bereshis. That a girl would be all dressed up, all fancy to get married, and someone else would say, but I want to have control over the whole world. So he would grab the other guy's girl. The girl's ready to marry someone else. That's not fair. That's not decent. She wasn't yet an Eishes Ish. The halacha says, in the days of the Tanaim, she was an Eishes Ish, because we're talking about Jewish people, so Kesef is kind of, there's Kiddushin, there's Erisin, and there's Nisun. So the girl was there now, Rusa, for a whole year already. Sula Nisis Liyom Ravi, that's the Yoron HaMitzvah Shpeta, that's a year and a Wednesday later, after they already had the Kiddushin, so the girl was an Eishes Ish. But over here we're talking about B'nai Noyach, there were no B'nai Yisrael yet. So by B'nai Noyach, Rashi quotes the halacha that only Bulos Bal Yesh Lahan Nichnu Subuchu Pavolay Nivala Ein Lahan. They don't have any concept of Kiddusha Kesa, the Kiddusha Shtar. They only have Ishu Saideh Bilu. That's what the Pasuk says later. Hashi Vesa Shoyish Kinovi. How does it say? Hincha Meis Ali Shazos Hashel Atach Tebihi Bulos Bal. So the Gemara comments on that Pasuk when Sora was taken. The more comments on the pasuk, only bulos bal yesh lahem, they don't have any other form of kiddushin. So in this case, that they grabbed the girl who was just about to get married to someone else, but you're b'nei halim is b'nosim kitoy b'seinim, they would chapois the kala who would just be about to marry someone else. That was scandalous. It wasn't a violation of eishes ish, but it was scandalous. The girl wasn't interested in marrying him. She was going out with the other guy. She wanted to marry the other one. And then the pasuk says, "Vayiklam nashim mikol asher b'chori." The Rashi quotes in the Medrash, they would take a bulas bal also. They were violating eishes ish, and they would take mishkav zachar, mishkav behemah, mikol asher b'chori, af bulas bal, af zachar, af behemah. They violated everything. Yeah. So the Chumash describes that Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give Adam and Rishon and all of mankind shilton, shlita, over the whole world, within restriction, within limits. Not to take a bulas bal, and not to take mishka beim, and not to take mishka zoch, and not to grab someone else's girlfriend. If the girl is holding by getting married to someone else, and she's not interested in marrying you, see, now I'm about to grab that girl. That's kitaybis heina. That's the problem, that people feel they have, their Ribbono Shel Olam created us with b'chira chofshis, and we have a desire to accomplish, we have a desire to have shlita. That's a normal desire, that's a healthy desire, the chitshua. Everybody has a desire, a normal person has a desire to be successful in life. A person who's learning Torah should have a desire to succeed and to master the kol haTorah kula. A person who's in biology should have a desire to cure cancer and to cure all the diseases and to become and to make a contribution in music, whatever art, whatever field the person is in. You should have a desire, that's the chitshua, to excel in that field. But this desire shouldn't cause us to get carried away with ourselves and think that therefore we have the right to do whatever we want and there's no limitation. No. As the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, that Hakina b'hatay b'vakovet notzim esodom min ha'olam, that people have a desire to master everything, So then they're jealous of the other person. How come the other person has better furniture than I do? His wife is better looking than I have. He has more covered, and he has better parnasa and so on. His home is more pretty than mine and more expensive and so on. So kina causes people to sin. And taiva, kina ba taiva. A person has a desire to try shrimp, and to has a desire to eat macholos asuras and to take an ashes ish. And covet, people feel I deserve more covet. This is all because people feel restricted. They feel, how can I be restricted? The Rebbeinu Shlom gave me the desire to be kodesh the whole world, the desire to succeed in life. So he oversteps his bounds, and he goes past what the Rebbeinu Shlom gave him the right to do. So we have to, everything, the chivshua should be within limits. The pasuk describes the chet of the Eitz Hadas, that the Nochash convinced Chavo that this is the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra, and Shalit. In other words, by eating from the Eitz Hadas, he gets Seichel. Before you eat from the Eitz Hadas, they're stupid. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then you develop Seichel, then you'll be a genius. And if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, v'yisin keluhim, yoydei Teva Ra, you will become like God. That's how the Medrash interprets. The Medrash says that the Nochash convinced Chavo that the Rebbeinu Shalom ate from the Eitz Hadas, and that's how he became a God. And he's all people in any given field are jealous of the competition. So God doesn't want to have any other competition. He wants to be the only God. Just like a dentist, he doesn't want another dentist to open up another practice right next to him. He doesn't want competition. Go open up in a different city or an automobile shop. He doesn't want someone else to sell automobiles in the same block. Nobody wants any competition. He wants to get all the customers for himself. So the Rebbeinu Shlom also ate from the Eitz Hadas, and that's how he became God. And if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, v'yisin kelehim yedi tevera, you too will become like God, and you will be competition to God. And she fell for it. Chava fell for that story. She's going to eat from the Eitz Hadas, a fruit from the Eitz Hadas, and she'll become like God. So the pasuk is describing the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That's really the root of all of Ches. That's how the Balatanya quotes from the Sifri Kabbalah. The Pasuk describes that the root of all of Ches really is gaifa, arrogance, that man feels that he has the right to do more. We all have the ability to do more. We are all half asleep. Sometimes if among the students in the same year, you'll always see one student who's always getting 100. So sometimes he's a much bigger genius than you are. I'm not such a big genius. He just applies himself. He doesn't waste his time on television. He doesn't waste his time on other things that are irrelevant. He leads a normal life. He eats normal meals and he sleeps normal hours. And he just applies himself better. And he does better than everybody else. And we should really learn from that. We should all learn from that to be more successful in life. So sometimes people feel, in order to be more successful, they have such illusions of grandeur. Oh, I'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, I'll become God. I'll be able to eat Macholos Asur. I can do whatever I want. I can be Machal Shabbos. I can do. So we have to realize that our this concept of Shlita, that the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted to give a Shlita on the world, has restrictions. If we're from the Bnei Noach, it has less restrictions. If we are from the Bnei Yisrael, we have a couple of more restrictions. Has to be within reason. This attitude of gaiva is always the source of all of sin. Hakina ba'taiva ba'kavod are assumed to be three aspects, three forms of this feeling of gaiva, this exaggeration of the sense of shlita sa'adam on the whole world. What does it mean in the Chumash? That it's the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra? That's what the Rambam asks on the first page in the Mor in the Buchim. The pasuk is to be taken literally, that before the eighth and the Eitz Hadas, they were labnei das, they had no seichel, and only after eating for the Eitz Hadas, then it was the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra. Now they have das Teva Ra. Before not, so the Rambam says, how can it be? So they were lab bar das before. So lab bar das is a lab bar chiyuva. Cheru shel tibikot is a lab bar das. Lab bar chiyuva. So why are they punished? Because they ate from the Eitz Hadas. How can you give a tzivut to a person as a lab bar das? So the Rambam explains that it doesn't mean that. The Rambam has his famous explanation in the Mor Nevuchim. He says that before the eighth and the eighth Hadas, he didn't have a concept of Tova Ra. They had a concept of Emes and Sheker. They knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. And after eating from the eighth Hadas, they weren't so interested in doing what's right and avoiding doing what's wrong. They were interested in doing what's pleasant and avoiding doing what's unpleasant. Sometimes the things that are pleasant are wrong. The Yeshus Ish is a very good looking woman. Sometimes she's very, very appealing. But that's the wrong thing, even though it's very pleasant, it's the wrong thing. And the chazer and the macholas asuras is very tasty. The Torah doesn't prohibit macholas asuras because it doesn't taste good. And if a guy gets a job to be mechal Shabbos, he'll make more money. Sometimes he'll make much more money. But the Torah says he's not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, not because it's unpleasant. It is very pleasant to be mechal Shabbos, but it's prohibited. So before the Yetz and the Yetz Hadas, their orientation was to think in terms of what's right and what's wrong. And after eating from the Yetz Hadas means after sinning. The Gemara says, "Kiven shavar adam aver v'shanabo nasas lo keheter." Once a person sins and he gets into the routine of sinning, he rationalizes. He says, "Look, it's not so bad. Can't be that it's so bad. The world didn't come to an end." And he'll justify everything, you know, and he'll find the terrors for everything. The Psukim in Mishlei describe the prostitute as defending her profession. She doesn't force anybody into using her services. She doesn't overcharge. She gives people a good time. She's very nice about it. And the Psukim say everybody rationalizes. Everybody justifies what they do. So that's what the Chazal understood over here by eating from the Yetz Hadas. After they ate from the Yetz Hadas, then everything was understood. All of life was looked at in terms of Tovara. What is pleasant and what's unpleasant. Whatever is pleasant, they'll write a tshuva and explain why it's mutar. And whatever is unpleasant, they'll be able to understand why it's why that's not the route to go. Instead of judging what's right and what's wrong, they determine based on what's pleasant and what's unpleasant. In Yiddish, they say a melitza like that. The Gemara says a melitza tamachachem shavar aver balaylo. The Gemara says if you saw tamachachem who did an aver at night, al tahar achar bayom. You shouldn't think in the daytime that he did something wrong last night. The Gemara says shem also tshuva. Maybe he did tshuva, so you shouldn't be choshedik shem. The Gemara says shem also tshuva. No, it must be more than that. Vaday also tshuva. We should assume he was a tamachachem. We should assume that he certainly did tshuva. In Yiddish, they have an expression, Vaday also tshuva. He certainly wrote a tshuva and he explained why it's permissible. Yeah, people can always justify. Whatever position they take, they'll always justify. That's where the Beis HaLevi quotes that section from Mishlei, that the prostitute justifies her profession. She said she didn't do anything wrong. No complaint. You shouldn't complain to her. That's how the Rambam interprets, that before eating from the Yetz HaDas, they were B'nai Das. If they weren't B'nai Das, they were La B'nai Chiyuvi. You couldn't give them a tzivah, they wouldn't deserve any punishment. La B'nai Onshin. Now, before they ate, they had Das, Avada. But the Das was Emes and Sheker to distinguish between right and wrong. And after eating from the Yetz HaDas, then it was pleasant and unpleasant. Then they were looking for different things in life. In Chassidish Svarim, they say the same thing, but a slightly different usage of the term. They say along the lines of the Ramban Achumish. Ramban says basically the same thing, I think, but a slightly different language. He says the Eitz Hadas was Eitz Hadas Tovaram Yurovim Zebo Zeb. Before they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they knew what was Tov and they knew what was Ra. And after eating from the Eitz Hadas, then it becomes Tovaram Yurovim Zebo Zeb. They blended in and people rationalized. And they'll justify. In fact, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronted Adam Arish and he asks him, "Aminu Eitz Hashet Tzivisich Levil Tilchol Memenu Acholta," so he says, "Yes, Arish is nothing. He nasan liba oichal." So the Medrash says, "What is that form of grammar mean ba oichal?" So he didn't say achalti. He nasan libi achalti. Oichal means achalti v'yochalot. I ate from the Eitz Hadas and I will continue. Tells the Rabban Shalom. Rabban Shalom says, "Did you eat from the Eitz Hadas?" I said, "Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm going to eat some more." He tells the Rosh Hashanah, "Yeah, I enjoyed it, I'm going to eat some more." So he has the chutzpah to tell. The answer is, after sinning, so everything is nasa, so like a hefer. So that's how the Ramban says that Tovara means Tovara Yerovim Zebazeb. All of us are like that. After you get used to doing the wrong thing in life, so you justify and say it's not so bad. And not everybody holds like that. And there are other shittas. Of course there are other shittas. The wrong shittas. The right shittah and the wrong shittah. Rambam See, we believe, one of the principles that we believe in is that the Bria was Yesh Mayayim, that there was nothing in the world, only the Ribbono Shel Olam, there wasn't even time and space. The Ribbono Shel Olam had to create time, space, and matter. Everything was created Yesh Mayayim. Those who don't believe in God have to say that everything happened by itself. Everything existed by itself. I don't even know what that means. Everything exists by itself. We believe in Iker and Emunah that the only thing that existed was the Ribbono Shel Olam. There wasn't even time, space, there was no matter, there was nothing. And then Ribbono Shel Olam created everything, Yesh Mayayim, literally Yesh Mayayim. And then once he created, it says, now we have Yesh Mayayim. Now babies are born, Yesh Mayayim. It's not Yesh Mayayim. Okay. And fruits grow on the trees and vegetables grow. Everything now is Yesh Mayayim. But the original Bria was Yesh Mayayim. The Rambam interprets in the Gemara in Psachim, the Makis, the Gemara talks about eating certain non-kosher fish that you can sometimes get more than once malchus. Ochel putiso loika arba, nemola loika chomesh, tzira loika shesh. The Gemara says sometimes you get four times malchus, five times malchus, and six times malchus. So there's a big machlekes harishonim v'hagoinim over there, how to read the Gemara. And the Rambam really stands alone. The Rambam has a totally different interpretation from all of the goyim and all of the rishonim. The Rambam claims, he has his chiddush, that if you have a kechel halav, the chumash repeats the same lav many times. Chelev, dam is repeated, the veil is repeated quite a few times in the chumash, so you only get once malchus. You don't get malchus in accordance to how many times the pasuk appears. Why is it repeated? For emphasis, b'mechazik b'inim. So according to the Rambam's position, that's how he has in Shoresh Tes, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and he has in the Yad HaChazok, and the Mishnah Torah has like that. When you have a kefil alav, so you only count it as one mitzvah. So how do you make a cheshbon that you get four times malchus for eating the treif of fish, five times malchus, six times malchus, like Rashi and Taisus and the Ramban and the Goinim, all Olam Shat and Raivit? The Olam, because the pasuk says many times not to eat the sheretz hamayim. And the Rambam says no, that that there's a lav, you're not allowed to eat the sheretz hamayim, a non-kosher fish. There's a lav, you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher bird. There's a lav, you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal that walks on the ground. What if you have an animal that flies and it crawls on the ground and it swims? So it's a bird and it's a plane and it's Superman and it's everything all together. And it dances and it plays the guitar and it knows how to work on the computer. So the Rambam said, there's a lav if it's this, there's a lav if it's that. And it has all six together. It dances and it sings and it's a pilot that knows how to drive an airplane. So then he says you get six times malchus. So the Ravid says, the Ravid is making fun of the Rambam and Hilchos Macholos Asturis. He calls him Hamaasef Hazeh. He calls the Rambam a collector because he collected all halachos. Hamaasef Hazeh Asav Dvarim She'enam. He gathered together things that don't exist. He says there is no such. That's what he sounds like then. He says there is no such animal that it flies and it swims and it dances and it crawls on the ground. So that's the question. What's what the Rambam holds, that there is such an animal? The Ravid holds that there isn't such an animal. What are they fighting now? So the Rambam writes there, part of his interpretation of the halacha is that there's a separate law for a non-kosher animal that was spontaneously generated. Sure. He quotes it from a sifro. We don't have it in the Gemara. He quotes it from the sifro. One of the six malchus that you get is if you have a sheretz, a non-kosher animal that was spontaneously generated, then you get malchus for that. So if it swims and it crawls on the ground and it flies and it's spontaneously generated, so then you get another malchus for that. So Louis Pasteur is known for having proven that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. That life has to come from life. So we no longer accept this Rambam. After the age of Louis Pasteur, we no longer accept the Rambam. What do we do? The Gemara has it then. The Gemara has in the Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ahori Kina B'Shabbos is Potter. If you kill a certain lice on Shabbos, you're not Chayim Shem Tilis Neshama. So the Gemara sounds like it says that it's spontaneously generated. So that chiyus doesn't count. So this is a big question. After Pasteur came up with his chiddush that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, what do you do with the din of the Gemara? So on the Sefer Pachad Yitzchok, the encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchok, by Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprenti from Italy from a few centuries ago, he quotes that there was a machlokes of the Rabbanim in Italy after Pasteur came up with his chiddush, how are you going to deal with the Gemara? Okay. So that's a question. So in more recent years, in the 1900s, the communists officially didn't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, so you have to believe in spontaneous generation. Where did life? Everything is yesh. Everything happened by itself. Life came from nothing. Life came from nothing. No. You have to believe in spontaneous generation. So the communists, historically, the communists commissioned their scientists to disprove Louis Pasteur's theory. So for money, you can do anything. So they paid them a lot of money, so they disproved it. They proved that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So some of the Rabbonim were dancing from joy. Ah, we finally saved the Shere Rambam. The Rambam was so difficult for a few centuries because Pasteur had proven no such thing as spontaneous generation, and now they disproved. So other Rabbonim are not so happy to rely on the communist scientists who were commissioned by the communist government. Their kavana was l'shem avodah zarah. They wanted to prove that it is possible to have everything happen by itself. You don't have to have any God in the world. But we assume that God created the world, yesh meyayin, and he created life, yesh meyayin. And we are free to follow Louis Pasteur. Maybe we will disprove Louis Pasteur. But so far we still drink pasteurized milk. And we still hope from this theory. We assume that there is no thing as spontaneous generation. And the Rambam is a Shvera Rambam. We believe that the Bria was Yesh Me'ayin. The Bria of life was Yesh Me'ayin. The Pasuk describes the uniqueness of Adam Harishon, that he was created the Tzelem Elokim. What does that mean? That the Ribbono Shel Olam also has two eyes and a nose and two ears. He looks like us. It's hard to believe. We assume that God doesn't have any body. This was in the days of the Rambam. This is one of the reasons why they burnt the Sifri HaRambam. The Rambam assumed that God doesn't have any body. And there were many tzaddikim in other countries who believed in the simple literal translation of the Tanakh, that God v'yicharav Hashem, God's nose, God hat, and eni Hashem, God has at least two eyes. God has a mouth and he speaks. God has legs. Tachas raglov. God has at least two legs. And so there were others who held the Rambam as an apikoros because of the fact that he establishes a principle that God doesn't have a body. But over the years, the Rambam's opinion has prevailed, and we assume that God does not have a body. So what does it mean that God created man but tzelem elokim? We assume that Tzelem Elokim, the Meshech Chochma quotes from the Sefer Beis Elokim by the Mabit. Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef in Sfas in the 1500s. So the Meshech Chochma quotes from the Mabit that Tzelem Elokim means Bechira Chavshis. We believe in Bechira Chavshis. It's true that different people have different genes, and the different genes give them tendencies. There are some people who are more prone to drinking than others. There are some people who are more prone to running around with women than others. There are some people who are more prone to genevis. Some people more prone to become bank robbers. The Gemara at the end of Masechah Shabbos says, whoever was born on a Sunday will be a sheikhet dam or something like that. Either he'll be a murderer, or he'll be a sheikhet, or he'll be a royal, but he's going to have this tendency. So the Gemara does talk about tendencies, and today we understand it's based on the genes and so on. Yeah, but a tendency doesn't mean that there's no Bechira Chavshit. Sometimes it means that it's more difficult. Sometimes it means that the challenge to control yourself, if a person doesn't have any, he doesn't enjoy drinking schnapps, he has no desire, has no cheshik at all. So it's easier for him to be sober than for the fellow who does have a desire, who does enjoy it. So the challenge is greater. This fellow will have a Yetzer in a different area. The Rav Shalom created everybody with a Yetzer. The Pasuk says, says Vayitza with one yud, Bayarim Rishon says Vayitza with two yuds. What's the relevance, what's the symbolism in the two yuds? So the two yuds represent the constant conflict that every human being has. Everybody has within him a Yetzer Tov with a Yetzer Hara. It's a double Yetzer and there's always a conflict. And the person, every normal person has the ability to control his desires and to follow Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes people don't have Bechira Chavshis, that's what we call a Sheiter. A person who's crazy, who doesn't have clear conscience, that's called a shaita. Let's say there are people after the Second World War who suffered so much they didn't have any water to drink or something like that. So when they'll see a cup of water, there's plenty of water. You can drink all the water. They'll see a cup of water that there used to be. Now they all, it's already 60 years later after the war. They'll knock people over to drink the cup of water. What's the problem? The bottles of water all over the place. No, they become so meshuggah, they have no clear conscience to act normally. So unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world who are mamish mishugayim. Those are the crazy people who don't have the chiruch hapshis. But normally we assume that every person is a bardas, and it means that a person has the ability to control his tendencies and his desires, and whatever genes he has, just make an inclination within him, and he can do a shviras amidas. The person has the ability to control himself and to observe the mitzvahs of Torah. So that's why we hold these people responsible. We hold normal people are held responsible for whatever they do, for averus that they do. We don't say that everybody is a lav bardas. Today in psychology, for many years already, they just don't believe in zero cultures. I remember about a year and a half ago, there was some kind of an article in the New York Times Sunday magazine section about so the premise of the whole article was that there's no Bechira Chavshis, and they had a couple of kashas that they had no way to forever. So I think 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, whenever it was, so people sent in letters to the editor in the magazine section, so they said, Gula Yesh Lema, maybe there is such a thing as Bechira Chavshis. That never occurred to the guy who wrote the article. No, that's a Muskel Rishon, that's given. There's no such thing as Bechira Chavshis. And he was bothered with a couple of kashas. How do you find out for this? How do you find out for that? The Teretz is that we believe in Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim means that just like there was nothing pressuring the Ribbono Shel Olam to create the world, he created the world out of his own free will. It's not that all God by his very nature is pressured into creating the world. God doesn't have any nature that pressures him into creating the world. Ribbono Shel Olam created the world out of his own free will. So too, God created man with Tzelem Elokim, that we have certain tendencies. Everybody has different genes, and everybody has not everybody was born on Sunday. 1/7 of the population born on Sunday, 1/7 of the population born on Monday. So all the different people have different tendencies, but we all have the ability to control all of these genes and all of these tendencies. That's an ikar in our belief, is the principle of Tzelem Elokim, the Hainu Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis, however, we assume is restricted of the pashtus. Do I have the Bechira Chavshis to go shoot you? If you don't deserve to die now. So we... It's a question. So Rabbi Hanav Asaman has an essay about this topic. He assumes, I think that's the more traditional approach, he assumes that there's no such thing. I can't have the Bechira Chavshis to shoot a person who doesn't deserve to die. Everyone has a restricted, limited Bechira Chavshis. The Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't give me any shlita over someone who doesn't deserve to die. Sometimes the person deserves to die because of his chatoim. Sometimes he deserves to die because he was only brought into this world for a short period of time in order to accomplish something. Go kill a guy. So why should I kill a guy? I have no interest in killing. But if someone is a murderer and he's an evil person, a Russian, he wants to kill, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam will open up his ability. He'll give him a Bechira Chavshis, he'll give him the ability to kill this person. But if it's not time for the person to die, so the Ribbono Shel Olam, let's say, to rob a bank. You rob a bank, he mops at all of the people who have their money in the bank. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives everybody Bechira Chavshis. Whoever wants can rob the bank and mops at everybody. So we usually assume that not. It must be that there's Eiranam Nokatat Boy Malamato Elim Ke Machizan Olav Malamayo. We usually assume that a person wouldn't suffer any Hepsid Momin, any Hepsid Agur, anything at all. Not all assume like that. Or Achaim HaKodesh in his commentary on Chumash later, Rebbe's quotes a Zohar, which seems to develop an opposing view. The Zohar has the comment on the Pasuk when the brothers of Yosef wanted to kill Yosef. So then they said, how can we kill him? So they said, okay, we'll throw him into the bor. And then it says they threw him to the bor, but habor ekein bo mayim. So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, ekein bo mayim, mayim ein bo, avon nechosh makrabim yesh bo. So they threw him into the bor knowing in advance that he's going to get killed by the scorpions. They're going to eat him up alive. So why they throw him into the bor? It's the same as killing him. The many interpret in the Gemara, no, the boar was a very deep boar. What the boar was only 9 tefachim deep. So he'll be able to walk out of the bor. He'll climb out. So the bor was very, very deep. It was 10 feet deep. So they didn't see the Chosh Makralim. And that's how the many Mephoshim say Pshat in the Gemara. And Bameh Madlikin, the Gemara has this memory right next to the other memory that if you put an Erechanik, the Lamarle Meser Mamor, so there's Lo Sholta Beyena, so you won't be able to see it, so you're not Yotze. Because if only Yotze had Lachas Erechanik, if there's Pistumi Nisa, people will see it. So then the next memory, the Gemara quotes is this, Abore came on my member, and the Chosh Makralim Yeshbo. What does it mean to say that the bor was so deep? So that's why they didn't see the Chosh Makram. They didn't know that they were in the Chosh Makram. But the Or HaChaim, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes a Zohar that apparently understood, no, they knew that they were in the Chosh Makram. So what did they? They said, let's not kill him, we'll throw him into the boy. Throw him into the boy, he's going to get killed again. So you're responsible for his death. So the Zohar has some kind of a comment that human beings have the ability to kill an innocent person, even though he doesn't deserve to die. Because the Rebbeinu Shlom gave everybody the Chiruch Hafshis. He gave us the ability to shoot innocent people and to rob a bank and to be mafsid people that don't deserve to lose that money. But the Choshim HaKrabim don't have Chiruch Hafshis. Anything in the Bria other than a human being doesn't have this Tzelem Elokim, doesn't have Chiruch Hafshis. And the Choshim HaKrabim will not kill Yosef unless he deserves to die. So they said, let's not kill him. We'll kill him. Maybe that won't indicate that he's guilty of anything. Maybe that'll be our avera that we want to kill him. Let's throw him into the bor. And Min HaShamayim, they'll determine whether he deserves to die. And then he didn't die. Well, but if they would have started up with him, they would have succeeded in killing him, even if he would not have deserved to die. So that's a different approach. That's a different approach. That's the question. All of the people who were killed, all the people who were murdered by terrorists, by murderers, do we assume that there must have been a gzera min hashamayim that they should die? Well, no, not necessarily. People have a b'chiruch hafshis, so they have the ability to kill other people and to harm other people, even though they don't deserve to suffer. The Gemara says, Einanam nokif etzboi mulamato. The Gemara doesn't talk about someone else cutting off my finger. The Gemara talks about nokif etzboi. I harm myself. Or the Pasuk says, you should put a makev, yasisa makev legagecha. Why? Lest someone will fall down and get killed. That's how Gemara says in Bava Kamma, the mitzvah of Makkah only applies if there's a hashash that someone's going to get killed. If there's a hashash someone's going to break his arm, then no. Only if the building, the gag, is 10 tefachim higher than the ground, and asara tefachim, the Gemara says, can accomplish misa. The Gemara says it's a bor tes and a bor yud. A bor tes cannot accomplish misa. A bor yud can accomplish misa. So in the sugya bor, with La Bava Kamma, the Gemara has this halacha, that the only time there's an obligation to put a makkah is when the roof is at least 10 tefachim above the ground below it, and someone may fall down and get killed. So the Yerushalmi comments on the phrase in the Pasuk, Ki Yipal HaNoifel Mimenu, lest someone will fall down and get killed. Why do we call him a Noifel? He didn't fall down yet. You should say, Ki Yipal Odom Mimenu. So the Yerushalmi says that the reason why it says, Ki Yipal HaNoifel, means that there must have been a Gzera Min HaShamayim, that he should fall down and get killed. If not for the fact that there was a Gzera, he wouldn't have fallen down, and he wouldn't have gotten killed. So if there was a gzera min hashamayim, so what's wrong if I don't make a makkah? He's only going to fall down and get killed if he deserves it. The answer is yeah. Let someone else do the Rabbanu Shalom's dirty work. Don't you be the one to do the shlichus of the Rabbanu Shalom to cause this pliny to die. Let someone else be responsible for his death. You should put up a makkah so this kilkul shouldn't occur al yodecha. So that Yerushalmi is also talking about the guy's going to fall off of the roof on his own. And the Gemara Chulin, Eilam Nekev Etzboi Moramata, is also talking when it happens on its own. The Gemara is not really speak explicitly about shooting someone. So that's what Rabbi Ochanan Wasserman has a long arichas in his essays. He assumes that it applies to even a terrorist activity, even a murderer. He says, we assume that if anyone dies, it's not shaykh. If anyone murders someone else, I'm not sure that he should die without a Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ralbag in his commentary on Mishlei writes like that. Yeah, in the Mishlei there's a pasuk that says, Pal Gemayim Le Melech B'Yad Hashem Kol Asher Yachpat Yatenu. Pal Gemayim means like this. You have a big river, it's a very wide river, a few miles wide, and it goes with such force. It's not Shaykh. It's very difficult to divert the river. You have to have a major... It will be a major job to divert. What if you just have a trickle of water, palge mai, a tiny trickle of water, so you just put your hand there, you can divert the whole flow of the water. It's not so difficult. So the pasuk describes Lev Melech, the Yad Hashem, the heart of the king, the world's rulers, are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Palgei Mayim. It's like a trickle of water. The Baruch Hu just puts in the heart of the king that he wants him to Hitler. Hitler was a ruler. The Baruch Hu put in his heart that he should see to it that all these millions and millions of people should be killed. Stalin killed more people than Hitler. He put it in his heart that he should kill all of these people. So the Ralbag, in his commentary, Ralbag Yibichlal, has very interesting comments on Tanakh, wherever he has what to say. So on that pasuk in Mishlei, he gives a whole long essay, a whole long arichas in the end of Mishlei. So he says it's inconceivable that a king should be able to make decisions whatever he wants, to just decide to go to war and to kill so many people. Unless there's a gzeir min hashamayim, it must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam completely controls the hearts of the kings, because every slight decision that the king makes affects so many other people, even what toothpaste he uses, because they're going to advertise it in the newspaper. The king uses Colgate, whatever he uses, or whatever caterer he uses for his daughter's wedding. It's that caterer is going to become a rich man. Everybody's going to use that caterer, whatever. Every little slight sneeze that the melech does affects so many different people in Parnassa and their chiyus and their lives and so on. So that's what the Ralbag says. Whenever anybody, it's not only the melech, every little activity that the king does affects everybody else. But other people also, most of what we do all day affects ourselves, and once in a while it affects other people. Whenever what we do affects someone else, so the Baruch Shel Olam restricts our bchira chavshus and he controls it. And he says, we have no right to do something which will affect someone else negatively if the other guy doesn't deserve to suffer. So the Ralbag has this long arichas like Rabbi Hanan Wasserman. And I think that was usually assumed to be the traditional opinion. But the Yorah Chaim presents an opposing view.
God of history.
Yeah, that's how we usually assume. Yeah. We assume that Baruch Hu created the world with a tachlis, and he's guiding everything in the world. So the question, does he guide everything 100%? Maybe a lot of things happen against his wishes. Maybe even a lot of things, there certainly are a lot of things happening against his wishes. People are doing avaris, they're destroying his world. But what about to cause others to suffer? That's also possible to happen. That's the question. That's the Shema. In the creation of Adam Arishan, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Vayikach Ofer min Adama, and he created Adam Arishan. So the Medrash comments on the pasuk Ofer min Adama. Min Adama has the connotation of a Mizbach Adama Tasali. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from the location of the Makom HaMikdash offer from that Adama, and he created Adam Rishon. What was that Kavana Halavai Shetehelo Kapara? The Mizbech represents offering Karbanas in order to attain Kapara. So the Baruch Shalom wanted to create Adam Rishon with the ability to do children. That's what a human being is all about. A human being has bechira chavshus. The whole koyach hatshuva is bechira chavshus. That you have the ability to do good, you have the ability to do bad, and you have the ability to change your ways, even after already choosing one route and remaining on that route for 85 years. You can still choose to change. You can still choose to change. So that's the whole essence of the human being, is that we have bechira chavshus, and we have the ability to do tshuva. The Rambam has, in Hilchas Tshuva, he speaks about the Klal HaBchira Chavshus. He really could have written it up earlier in Hilchas Yisrei HaTorah, when he's listing off all the Ikari HaAmunah. But he writes it in Hilchas Tshuva because it's more closely connected with Tshuva. People are not held responsible for anything they do if they wouldn't have Bchira Chavshus. But he says Tshuva is all based on this exaggerated idea of Bchira Chavshus. Not only do we have Bchira Chavshus to choose here and there, we have the ability to reverse everything. To undo everything that we did in the past, even though for so many years we were doing wrong, for so many years we were doing right, we can always change our mind and reverse everything. That's even an exaggerated extension of Bechira Chavshus. Usually Bechira just means you're on your way, going along your way. And then you come to a fork in the road, so you go this way. Then you have another fork in the road, you go that way. You go this way, you go that way. No, but you can even go backwards. That's an extension of the concept of Bechira Chavshus. Not only every step of the way you can go, and once you're ready in California, so you're stuck in California, no, you can come back to New York in a second. You can do tshuva and come all the way back. So that's apparently what the Chazal, what the Midrashim understood by the concept of a Minhu Adama, that this is considered intrinsic to the nature of Adam. That man has this exaggerated sense, ability of the Chira Chavshus. The Gemara in the Mishnah Yuma says that during the period in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Aron was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so there was a Nevesh Siyah that was protruding from the ground in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so the Kengadol would do the Hazor Sadam in front of that Evan Shistiyah. What good is that? Are you supposed to do the Zvika Sadam in front of Ava Kaporis, Lufnea Kaporis, Achaz L'mayla V'sheva L'mato? So the quote from Abelvala Salavechik, that's based on the principle of Kichalos Ilova. That when Shlomo HaMelech put the Yaron there, when he built the first place on Mikdash, put the Yaron there, so that Mokim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was Niskadesh, that's the Mokim Ha'oren, and this is the Mokim of Lifnei Ha'oren. And the Rambam writes in Hilchas Beis Abchira that regarding the Rambam's Chiddush like that, the Raivit doesn't agree, the Rambam writes in Chiddush that the Kedushas HaMikdash we passed was Kitchel Asilova from day number one, from the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the first place on Mikdash. Shchino lezozim and kodmim, so that was kitchel ozilov. That's what Rav Elvala Soloveitchik suggests, that maybe the ability of the Kengola during the period of the Vaisheni to continue to do the Zvikas Adam in front of the location where the Aron used to be is based on this principle of kitchel ozilov. That's called the Makam Ha'Aron, and this is considered the Makam Shelefnei Ha'Aron, and we continue to observe the Dinim as if the Aron was still there. Just because the Aron was removed, it doesn't affect any change. So why is that stone called the Evan Shistia? What is that all about? So the Gemara says there, one suggestion says there in the end of Yuma, middle of Yuma, yeah, the Mem is in the middle of Yuma. So the Nuns, I think Nun Dalet or something. So the Gemara says that Shemisham Nishtas Kol HaOlam Kulat. When the Rebbeinu Shlom was creating the world, first he created the Makam HaMikdash. First he made the Evan Shistia, and then everything else developed Yesh MiYesh. That's how the Ramban has such a concept in his commentary on Bereishis. It's not that the Rebbeinu Shlom created everything Yesh Me'ayin. He created Yesh Me'ayin in certain material, and then he allowed that material to expand. And then he said, Dai, Omala, Shedai, Shomala, Loma, Dai. That's the name, Shin Dalidud, one of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiva Shem Shein and Chokim. So the connotation is Shamala Lama died, Rabban Shalom made material and it was expanding and growing on its own, and then he said that's it, he doesn't want it to expand anymore. So the original location that HaKadosh Baruch created first, the first thing that he created was the Makam HaMikdash. So that's why the Halacha assumes that the Makam HaMikdash is the center of the world, since that was created first. Wait a minute, it's not the center of the earth, it's molten. Is it burning hot metal or something? No. No, it means the world is a globe. The earth is a globe. It means that every globe has two hemispheres. And the Makam HaMikdash is the center of the upper hemisphere. So that's what the Baal HaMo'or in Rosh Hashanah and Achof writes, that the Yerushalayim is referred to in Tanakh as Tabur Ha'aretz, the belly button of the earth, because that's the center of the upper hemisphere. Of the globe is a ball that has two hemispheres, that's the center of the upper hemisphere. And he says, what's the relevance, what's the significance? So he says, an Achkemina for the international dateline. That he's a Balamor, and Chazanish writes that all of the seven Rishonim, we'll talk about the topic, all say the same thing. Anat Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chof on the base, that the international dateline cuts through Korea. Why should it cut through Korea? It has to be 6 hours to the east, 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has to be, the Evan Shistia has to be the center of the upper hemisphere. Just because we believe that the world was created Bishvil Yisrael, the whole world, and all the stars and all the galaxies, everything was created Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah, doesn't necessarily mean that the earth is the center of the world. The Gemara in the end of Pesachim quotes a dispute that the scholars had, whether the sun is the center of all of the planets or the earth is the center of everything. And then the Gemara says the Chachmei Yisrael thought they had a logical concept. They didn't have any evidence, they didn't have any proof, but logically they thought that since the whole purpose of the world was B'shvil Yisrael B'shvil HaTorah, we are on the earth, so it makes sense that the earth should be the center of everything and everything should revolve about the earth. The Chachmei Yisrael said no, that all the planets revolve about the sun. But they didn't have any Hashkafe, they thought the world is Stam Hefker. So they said scientifically everything revolves about the sun. So then the Gemara says, B'chaz U'Chachmei Yisrael, Hodu L'Chachmei Yisrael. The Gemara says that the Chachmei Yisrael were convinced that the Chachmei Yisrael were right. Yes, that everything the planets revolve about the sun. The planets revolve about the sun, but shouldn't this lead us to believe that the Jewish people with the Torah is not the Tachlis of the Bria? The Tachlis of the whole Bria of all the Shemayim Oretz is Bereishis, B'shvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, or B'shvil HaTorah. Just because something is not in the dead center, even though it's all the way on the side, doesn't necessarily mean that that's not what makes everything tick. Let's say if you look in an automobile, the engine is not in the middle, the engine is in the front. Well, a lot of times the heart happens to be tuck in the middle of the body. But it doesn't have to be. You have other balakayim with the heart is not in the center. So just because all the planets revolve about the sun doesn't mean that the Klal Yisrael and the Torah, which is all the way in a corner in a dinkel somewhere, is not the purpose of the Bria. That's the first pasuk in Bereishis. Bereishis B'shul Yisrael B'shul HaTorah. That's the tachlis of the whole Bria. We happen to be in a little corner of this Bria, but the whole in below Brisi Yamim Valayla Chukas Shemayim Vayetz Leisamti. If not for the Bris HaTorah, if not for the fact that the Jews are learning Torah, and not for the fact that the Jews are keeping mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created this whole world. The purpose of the whole world was B'shvil HaTorah, B'shvil HaMitzvah. The Rambam has an interesting concept in Hilchas Tshuva of Menias HaTshuva. Sometimes a person sins so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him that he suspends partially his Bechira Chavshis. The person still has Bechira Chavshis, but he suspends partially his Bechira Chavshis. He limits it, but he doesn't give him the ability to be Chayzeh B'tshuva. So the Ram Midrashim, which interpret that's what it means, the Eitz HaChayim, because the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk is not to be understood. The Pesukim say that Adam and Chava sin by eating from the Eitz HaDas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned they're going to go run to the eat from the Eitz HaChayim for Ochal B'chayim Li'olam. I want to punish him. If you eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, you're going to die, you're going to be punished. And he has a way to avoid God's punishment. If he's going to run quickly to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, I will not be able to punish him. How is that possible? I mean, the man has the ability to hide out from God. There's a trick. There's a method where man can avoid punishment from God. There is no such thing. So what does the pasuk mean? Very strange. So the Baruch Hu had to run quickly to send angels to prevent other Marishim from eating from the Eitz HaDa'as, from the Eitz HaChayim, in order that God should be able to punish them. That's what it sounds like, the Pasha Pshat and Pasha. So it's very, very not to be understood. So the Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel and the Rav Midrashim interpret that this Eitz HaChayim means the Koyach HaTshuva. So the Baruch Hu at this time didn't want other Marishim to do Tshuva and get off scot-free. Normally a person does tshuva, so everything is wiped off. If he does a tshuva gemur, if he does a tshuva miyavo, everything is wiped off and it's even better than it was before. But the Rabban Shalom did punish Adam. He punished everybody. Everybody's all going to die because of this chet of Adam Arish. The Rabban Shalom did over here a partial menias ha-tshuva. He suspended his full bechira chavshis. So Adam Arish only has partial bechira chavshis. Doesn't have the ability to do a tshuva shleima. The Midrashim speak about the fact that Adam HaRishon did do tshuva on Shabbos. He sinned on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos he already did tshuva, and then he realized the koyach of Shabbos was so powerful, so he composed Miz Mishili on Shabbos. Tov lahodos l'Hashem. That's how the Medrashim spins. Lahodos means to recite vidui. That he recited vidui on Shabbos, and his tshuva was accepted. And after Cain killed his brother Hevel, And he met his father and he said, what can I do? I did such a terrible thing, what should I do? So the Marishan says, do the same as I did. I did tshuva. You do tshuva also. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a deal with you. That's how the expression is in the Medrash. Asisi tshuva minis parsharti in Koni. I made a pshara. A pshara because he didn't do a tshuva shlema. That's why if he wanted to, he would have done a tshuva shlema, it wouldn't have been a pshara. He would have been back in Gan Eden. So apparently the Rabbanu Shalom suspended partially his b'chira chavshin. He didn't allow him to do a tshuva shlema. True, the Midrashim say that Adam Rishon did tshuva and Kayin also did tshuva, but he didn't have the ability to do a tshuva shleim. The Ramban has in his commentary on Chumash an interpretation of the pasuk when Kayin was being punished. He realizes his sin is so great, his punishment will have to be Miponecha Esoser. I will have to hide from the presence of Hashem. And the Pasuk says that's exactly what his punishment was. Kain left the presence of God. So what does that mean? Is if the Rebbeinu Shlom is only in this room, and whoever leaves the room, the Rebbeinu Shlom can't see him. There is no place to hide from God. What does it mean? So the Ramban has great difficulty with this phrase in the Pasuk. So he says that he thinks what it means is the following. When a person davens, or when a person brings a carbon, al pidin, we consider him as being lifnei Hashem, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kayin understood that his punishment would consist of the fact he would no longer be allowed that privilege to be in the state of lifnei Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlom, wherever he's going to go, he's going to hide in the North Pole, the South Pole, in Afghanistan, wherever he's going to hide, the Rebbeinu Shlom knows where he is. He can't hide from the Rebbeinu Shlom. But what it means is, he will not be given, he will no longer have the privilege to daven, that the Rebbeinu Shlom should, whenever we daven, it's a privilege. The Rebbeinu Shlom says he's going to listen to the prayers. He may say yes, he may say no, but at least he listens. Yishamer tefillah. And when we bring a carbon, the Rebbeinu Shlom accepts the carbon. If it's a kosher carbon, he accepts the carbon. So these two, tefillah and carbon, are called lifnei Hashem. So the pasuk says that indeed was his punishment. Yetzikayim lifnei Hashem, he lost that privilege. He no longer has the right to be lifnei Hashem. Some of the Balei Musa point that when Kayin and Hevel brought karbonas, so the pasuk sounds like it says Vayavi Kayin, Vayimi Keitz Yamin. Chapter Dalit Pasuk Gimel. Vayyove Kayin Priyo Adama Minchal Hashem. Kayin brought a carbon. Vehevel gave Hevi Gamhu, and he also brought a carbon. So I think the Sparno has this, and the Balei Musa picked it up. That it sounds from the pasuk that the original idea was really Kayin's. The Midrashim have the Gemara has a Medrash that Adam Rishon also brought carbonos. But on this occasion, it says that the original idea seems to have been that of Kayin. Hevel was not such an original thinker. But after he saw that Kayin brought carbonos, so he went along. Hevel hevi gamhu, he too went along. And then he brought, his carbon was even nicer than Kayin. He brought mibchoris tzaynoi, from the firstborn, u'meichel vehen, and from the choice, from the mufchor. And Kayin didn't bring mina mufchor. Why? Because Kayin understood that this is only symbolic. We're going to burn a carbon on this earth, and the smoke is going to go up to the sky. As if God is in the heavens above, God is not in the heavens. God is not in the sky up over there. So it's like when you burn a carbon and the smoke goes up, as if it's delivered, as if the gift is delivered to the Rebbeinu Shlom. You know, the Rebbeinu Shlom makes a difference whether it's delicious carbon, or delicious fruits and vegetables, or spoils. So it's only a symbolic act anyway. It's not really a matana. The Rebbeinu Shlom is going to enjoy it better. It tastes better if you burn delicious fruits and vegetables, so the smoke is better. It's the same smoke, it doesn't make a difference. So Kayin held, logically, it doesn't make a difference. So he brought min hagaruah. He brought inferior quality because it's only a symbolic act anyway. And Hevel didn't think of the whole idea of bringing korbanos. But when he saw his brother doing it, he picked up on that. And he did it in a more correct fashion. He brought mepchoris tzono and michalvein, that there is a din of hida mitzvah. That if you do a hidur, if you have more beautiful tefillin, and more people like to have polished shoes, years ago, when I was growing up, people like to have nice clothing. Now they spend extra money to buy dungarees that are already worn out and destroyed when they buy them. That's the heathen to look sloppy. That's Mishugoy. But normal people want to look like normal people. So you spend extra money to buy nice clothing, to have nice polished shoes, to have a nice hat, to get a nice haircut, to look normal. So that's what Hevel understood. True, as far as the Ribbono Shel Olam is concerned, does make a difference. It's just smoke anyway burning. And true, it's only symbolic. But if you mechabe the mitzvah, it's considered that you mechabe na kodesh baruch hu. That's how the Medrash has an expression. All of the mitzvahs are shluchim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, as if they're shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and shluchim shel Adam kemoisai. So whoever is mechabed kabduas ha-mitzvahs, if you mechabed the mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if you are mechabed him. This is an indirect way to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like we like to have nicely polished shoes, we should have nice tefillin. They should be kosher, a mahadrim, and a talis, and so on, a sukkah. Everything should be beautiful, but not a sukkah. So this is what the Bali Musa point out. It's not so important to be an original thinker, to come up with new ideas in Avodas Hashem. If you're not so original, if you're not such a big genius, look at others and see what they're doing, and follow the way they do. What's more important is to do things in a proper fashion, to be oizgehalt. There are guys who learn, there are people who are geniuses, but they don't spend so much time learning. They spend a little time, they come up with a good kasha, come up with a good teretz, they don't review, they don't do anything in a mesudah digger fashion. At the end of the year, they're left with nothing. They're left with a sharp mind, that's all, but they're left with no knowledge, because they didn't try to absorb all the information. There are other people, not such geniuses. They don't have any original ideas, they don't come up with any good kasha, they don't come up with any good teretzim. But they do their homework. They prepare in advance for the shiur, and they review the shiur, and they write notes, and they study for an exam. At the end of the year, they'll have the 40 block gemara under their belt. They'll remember. It's more important to be eisgehalten, to do something properly, than to be an original thinker. You have in all of life, you have like that. You have vildi iluim, you have big geniuses, who are not necessarily a blessing to the world, not necessarily a blessing to mankind. They always come up with wild ideas, which are often incorrect, and even if they are correct, but they don't work on it to polish it up. So that was the difference between Cain and Hevel. Cain was an original thinker. He thought it's time to bring a korban, but he didn't work out all the details properly. His korban was not accepted because he didn't bring mina mufcha, he brought mina garua. And Hevel seems was not the original thinker, but because he saw Cain bringing a korban, and then he thought about it for a while, and he thought that the proper thing would be to do it in a bit more kabbalistic fashion with a heathen mitzvah. So his korban was accepted. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Cain, you have the ability to do tshuva. We are taught timshal bo. Everybody has the kishvanis to do tshuva. However far a person has gone, whatever stage in life a person is holding by, he always has the ability to do tshuva. L'toiv ol l'ra, a person could be a tzaddik omer. The Mishnah says, Al tamam yatzmacha ad yoyim moyscho. You shouldn't assume that just because you're brought up in a religious home for the last 20 years, that means you're going to be religious for the rest of your life. Not necessarily so. There were people who were observant for 80 years of their life, and then they became apikursim at the age of 80. You have people who are rishoyim for the first 80 years, and then they become tzaddik, and they can do tshuva. People can always change in either direction. People have bechira chavshis 100% all the way along. You should never assume that you're too far gone, you cannot do tshuva. And a person should never assume, I am such a big tzaddik, and my grandfather was such a famous chassidish rebbe, and I was brought up in such a religious home, nothing will ever happen to me. Not so. A person can turn out to be the biggest rosh in the world. The schus of it does not. Everybody has the bechira chavshis to do the taiva and the ra. That's the recurrent theme in Parshas Bereishis, because Bereishis is speaking about the creation of man. So this is essential. This is crucial to the definition of what man is all about. Man is a chetza, bechira chavshis. And the parsha concludes at the end of Bereishis. Kodesh Baruch Hu is so upset. I want to destroy all the people because they sin. And he's also going to destroy the behemoths and the remis and the Ophashamayim. Why do the behemoths and the remes and the Ofer Shemayim, why do they deserve a punishment? What did they sin? So Rashi has two pshat. So one pshat is from the Medrash, Abemish Chisadark. They also did sins. The other pshat is you don't even have to say they sinned. The whole purpose of the creation of the whole world was for Adam Arishin. Why was Adam Arishin created last? From all the things that were created, Adam was created last. And the Medrash says, like a person who prepares a meal, and then after everything, after the tables are set, and all the food is cooked, and all the waiters are ready, and all dressed and so on, and all the chandeliers are lit, so then you invite the guests to come in. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a whole beautiful world for the human beings, the whole tachlis of the Bria. Even though human beings are all around the side, you have all this big world with all these galaxies, with all these stars and universes and everything. But everything was created b'shul Yisrael b'shvil HaTorah. And once the Jews and the non-Jews, once the people are going to sin, they mekalkal the whole world. So the Baruch Shalom says, so what purpose is there for the whole world? Since man has sinned, what do I need the whole world for? The whole world is in order to serve the purpose of man. There's such a medrash on Koheles, on the Pasuk in Koheles, that the Nesilas Hashon quotes in the introduction to his Sefer, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon, he showed him around Gan Eden. He says, you see all these beautiful trees, everything was created for your purpose, if you'll keep my mitzvahs. Man was created liyovda l'shamra. He was created with a purpose, and the whole world was for a purpose. If you keep the mitzvahs, it'll be a wonderful world. If you'll violate the averis, you'll be destroying this whole beautiful world. So that's how the parsha ends off with the introduction to the mabul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, man is sinning. Man is sinning. So the whole purpose of the world is not being fulfilled. So I don't need the whole world. It's time to destroy the whole world.
This one's yours, and this one's yours.
Thank you very much.